It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, let me tell you, I got some news. I got some news for the activists I know that are listening, because we got Stephanie and Mike. Now, Stephanie and Mike are here to, you know, they're going to help us with our relationships. You know, it's pork therapy, okay? Porktherapy.com, because I met them up at the Porcupine Festival as part of the Free State Project thing they have in New Hampshire. Had a great time. Had them on the show. It was wonderful. We're going to spend some time with you. But, Stephanie, Mike, hold on just a second. I got something going on. Breaking news here. I have Nick and Ross. They are some of the activists here at Freedom's Phoenix Workshop. Let me tell you what we have always been looking for. When we first started the Love Illusion, we could make all kinds of different stencils using different kinds of material. And one thing we came up with from some young activists, they're like 19 in South Carolina, and they go, "What, you guys don't use this? I don't know why you're not using this." You know, because we didn't have this material. It's kind of a waterproof wall board. It's a thick vinyl that's perfect for projecting an image up, tracing it out, cutting it out. It makes a stencil. It lays flat. It's great. Well, we ordered so much of it over time here in Arizona that they, even though we have a low humidity and we don't really use this as much here, they started stocking it at Home Depot, okay? So now we got that, so we're all good. Then in Utah, there was some activists in Salt Lake said, you know, instead of using like Tyvek that rips and this other stuff, and you could just use used billboard material. They're throwing them away. They're big giant piles here. We use them for Boy Scout tents and covering hay bales and putting them over whatever and roofing there in Guatemala. I mean, they're trying to get rid of them. They got to pay $5-$10 a piece to throw them away because they never degrade. So we're going, we will take them off your hands. So you saw all these signs all over the country on these overpasses and so on. They were the back of a Chevy Tahoe billboard. And Lord forbid, you're in Las Vegas here when they were in their heyday. We were getting big giant trailer fulls of these for $15 or something. I mean, it was amazing. Well, now they're recycling them or something. They're like, the Revolution, they're not allowed anymore. So we've been looking for a material. Well, the guys have been looking around, and they found some stuff that we're going to put up on the net. We're going to say, oh, we got some good. And it comes in different colors. It's clear. It's white. We're still looking for the white. They got some samples of it. It's black. It's whatever. And it's cheap. Cheap. Boys, tell me what it is.
It's VizQueen, which...
Okay, wait. I got to plug you in here. Go ahead.
All right, it's VizQueen, which is not a new term in the building trade, but be sure to get reinforced VizQueen. It's got a cross weave, so the wind won't rip out your zip tie. And it's 6 mil, as in millimeter. 6 mil is the weight. We tried clear. It's still a little bit too see-through, so we're looking for white. But we did find black.
Well, there's some white. We've had it before, and it's kind of, you have Tyvek, which is like a plastic paper that rips. The other one is this crossweave stuff. Works great, but it always comes with kind of a green print on one side, and you kind of see it through. I mean, we still use it, but, you know, it's just not as cool. If we can get it without that, then you found where they make bags out of this stuff. You know, it's kind of this reinforced plastic, you know, heavy cinch sack or whatever the heck it is. So you get that and you found the product that they're making from, now we need to manufacture of the actual material they're making these bags out of. So that's a step we are on the white, but you found black. And I like black. Where's the Love sign goes really good on the black. And we have, 4409 and his stuff, YouTube 4409, that goes on black. And we got a bunch of other black signs coming because we got black for cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap.
Yeah, it's $140 for a 20-foot by 100-foot roll. And, yep, that's really cheap.
Now, Nick, what do you plan on doing with it? I know you guys are ready to make some signs. We just needed some goodies. We went out and got some stuff. What are you going to do that's semi-legal?
We might be causing havoc in the East Valley.
East Valley havoc! East Valley havoc! Hey, thanks for coming in, guys. I just want to get that out. Now, go ahead and give it out again, what you call it. They were going to go, and you went and got it where? At a landscaping place?
Yeah, landscaping. If you've seen a sandbag, you've seen it. It's that material. It's 6 mil VisQueen reinforced.
6 mil VisQueen reinforced.
We ended up going to a supply place that creates the bags, so it was Arizona Bag Company. So just look around in your area for some place that might put together bags.
Now the reason this is so important is because you're putting something up. It's cheap. I mean, we're talking to make a 4x8 is going to cost, I don't know, 30 cents or something, okay? So it's, we're talking cheap. And, you know, and the bad guys take them down anyway. You put them on an overpass or something. They got special guys just for that, you know? So what happens, though, you still get a few hundred thousand people to see it. We win. No, 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 no. So you put these signs up. Some people do. I don't know who they are. And if I find out, I'm going to turn them in, you know, because they're bad, evil people. But they put these signs up and so on in violation of something, I'm sure. When they do that, it's very inexpensive, and you just needed the medium to do it. Well, we've been looking, and these guys took the day to go find something. Of course, you've been gone all day. I don't know what the heck you've been doing. Hopefully, you topped at Taco Bell or something. But so they go out, and they got this stuff, and I wanted to share it with you. Oh, because we got another election cycle. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. And presidential day is coming up. I mean, this never stops. It never stops. Thanks for coming in, guys. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and get to Stephanie and Mike. Pork therapy. Start with Stephanie. Stephanie, tell me about pork therapy. What are you talking about?
Well, hello, Artie. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us on. We are a podcast where we talk about relationships, but we talk about it from a pro-freedom perspective. So we're kind of unusual in the land of relationship talk.
Well, tell me, Mike, in your other side of this, you know, it's male, female, who's always right, who always wrong, man? Is it an equal thing or are the guys always to blame?
That depends on who you ask. So I would have to say Stephanie's always right so that we can maintain a partnership.
See?
What a gentleman.
No, he just knows he's acting in his own self-interest. I can guarantee you that. You know, the one thing that I found very interesting is it never really occurred to me, except, of course, in my own personal relationships and raising my children, is I would deal with logic and reason. I would, negotiate and so on. But I tell you, Stephanie, my wife, she hates it. She does not like, because I go out and I say, look, it's all about negotiation. The answer is yes, just how much. I mean, you want me to what? Well, what do I get for it? I mean, it's kind of, I did this, what do I, it's that male thing. And they do jokes and routines on it where a guy is saying, hey, we're out of chips. Yeah, you're closer. Your car is parked out. It's all negotiation. Women are like, they all go to the bathroom together and they're all looking how they can make an event out of doing something. Where the guys are looking for the angle is they know it's your turn. So, it's a male-female kind of thing. And I tell you, when you hit 49, men and women are different. I figured that out, okay? I don't care what you say. They're different. So the thing is we embrace la différence, all right? Well, in a relationship, looking at it from a libertarian standpoint, when you're using the non-initiation of force, that you're, it's always in mutual best interest and all that kind of stuff. Well, I mean, where's the dominant role? Who has what to negotiate more with? I'm saying my wife wins. She's got breasts. Know what I mean?
Well, we certainly like breasts, but we also like persuasion, which is what we kind of advocate as a tactic for anything in life. You were talking about negotiation earlier, Ernie, and I think it's really important to be able to negotiate and to compromise and meet people halfway. And so that's one of the things we talk about a lot on our show.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you obviously aren't familiar with the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's Laura Petrie going,
Laura was in charge.
Yeah, well, what she said. Well, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, you know, you have to, well, if I got to tell you, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got to tell me. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, that's the deal. I need to be told. Because if you don't tell me, I ain't doing it. Doing what? I don't know, because you ain't telling me, okay? So this, from a libertarian perspective, is that one of the premises that you go from? I mean, you're dealing with men and women. You have relationships that you're dealing with, in-laws or outlaws or whatever you want to call them. You know, we even joked that last time we were talking, you're not even, you know, libertarian relationships. You could possibly not even dealing with one mother-in-law. You might be dealing with three. I mean, you know, so this is a different dynamic. What is the foundation that you first walk into when you're talking to someone about their relationships, whether it's friendships or family or significant others, spouses? What is the first thing that you're asking? What are you looking for?
I would say,
well,
that,
I think the one thing that we stress the most is good, clear communication. And in the case that you were talking about where, you know, there's a husband and a wife and the wife's mad and he says, well, what's wrong? And she says, well, I'm not going to tell you if you don't know. Well, in that case, I don't think she's really communicating that clearly. I think she should be direct and be honest.
Yay!
And,
what Stephanie said! What Stephanie said! See? You see, libertarian women, you want to marry them! Because they're like men. No. Did I say that out loud? We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Your smile.
That's all I want to do is make you smile. Then you love me. Yeah, at least you won't hate me as much. You know, the one thing that we need to work on is our relationships with each other. And a lot of times we're always trying to use force or coercion or something that is just distasteful kind of, ooh, I don't mind negotiation. I'm like, you know, you want to, you know, you be nice to me, I'd be nice to you kind of thing. And I don't have a problem with that. But I want to make sure that we are understanding at a foundational level. I have four children. I have two that are married, a boy and a girl that are married. I have another young man and young woman that aren't married and in kind of quasi little relationship kind of thing. And of course their focus will be, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, I remember when I was young, it was, you know, how she looked in jeans, you know, but the thing is that I'm, what is something that I would really emphasize from your experiences to these people? I mean, of course, my wife would have her, you know, druthers, and I would have mine. But from your perspective in dealing with someone that had been brought up in a libertarian household, what would you think that they should focus on?
Well, I can answer that. I think one of the most important things I would look for in a partner personally is someone who respected my own individuality and free will and my capability to make decisions as the owner of myself, and sort of, you know, just gave me the freedom to kind of be my own person.
What do you think, Mike? What are you looking for?
Well, whatever makes me happy, and that sounds really selfish and vague, but what is the point of anything if you're not happy? So if what makes me happy is someone who looks good in jeans, then that's what I'm going to look for. That doesn't do it for me, but if what makes me happy is someone who's a liberty activist, then that's what I'm going to look for. If I like a good bowler, then that's what I'm going to look for.
You know, one of my sons, you know, he kind of, one time I remember when they were young in high school, what do you see in her? And he kind of looked at me, you know, and I'm going, okay, it's a sweater. I get it. You know, the one thing that I'm hoping that I want to relate to the audience is that this is what I was hoping to build up to, and it's probably a difficult way to just say it. You know, I better just say it. There is a much deeper relationship understanding that gets past superficial stuff when you're dealing on a honest, open communication with someone that understands that you own yourself. You're not part of this group or a club or a club membership, or it's a religion or something like that you kind of are, you know, partnering up. You're kind of just, you know, in the same organization. Yeah, of course you got married because you should have been together. In my experience in dealing with people that are freedom oriented, they have a much deeper relationship. They understand each other. It's like in the movie Avatar. I saw anybody that's seen that. Have you guys seen that movie?
I just watched it recently.
You know, anybody that's seen that movie, there was a phrase that they had in there when they would greet someone. You know, imagine like your Native American tribe coming up, and one of the phrases that they would use is, I see you.
I see you, yeah.
And it wasn't that they just see him. I mean, that they see into you, they see you, they understand you, they go, I see you. And that really hit home for people that I've known for a long time, that I could actually say that, I see you. And a lot of times, it doesn't happen when you're dealing with someone that's trying to game you, when you're dealing with someone that's trying to get something over on you, when you're dealing with someone that would use coercion to get you to do what they want, when you're dealing with a salesman, when you're dealing with on a deeper mutual benefit relationship, this I can't think of a better word than a libertarian type mindset, this non-aggression principle. I see them. I go to Pork Fest, and just a short amount of time that I spent with you, I see you. I mean, you know, I understand. Is there any way you can expand on that thought?
Yes. Well, I totally agree. I think that's a really good observation, Ernie. And like you said, when you went to Pork Fest, you were around all these like-minded individuals, and you really felt like, even though you didn't know them for many years or so forth, you understood them, you got them. And I think that's really the way I feel living in New Hampshire and being around all these activists and having such a great community of liberty lovers here. I feel like I've known them for years, even if some of them I haven't known for years.
I
think you're absolutely right, that there's a deeper connection there that's shared by a common philosophy.
I tell you, the one person that I had never met, and I'm not even sure I've even talked to, certainly not for any amount of time, that I felt like I knew, was Larkin Rose. You know, it kind of surprised me because I've read so much of his stuff. He writes on Freedom's Phoenix. He was an activist. I followed a lot of his things. I met him, and I'm like, you know, he reminded me of somebody. I don't know. Probably him, you know. And I'm just going, wow, man, I feel like I've known you for a long time. But you find out that in a freedom-oriented, libertarian has its own special meaning, that it doesn't ask what religion you are. It doesn't ask what, you know, even a political party or anything, or that you even vote or not. That's not what it does. It's like you have a base philosophy. It's just live and let live thing. It's like, you know, am I allowed not to care about, you know, this cheap crap that doesn't matter to me? You know, are you allowing me to be me? And that's kind of what you were talking about, wasn't it, Stephanie?
Yeah, and I think that that basic understanding, when you both get the non-aggression principle, and you know, it puts you on a whole level that frees you up to sort of get to know each other. Okay, well, let's get to know other aspects of each other's personalities. Now we have this freedom thing, and we totally agree on it, and we can sort of hash out fine points or get to know each other in other ways. But it's like an instant connection.
We can explore all the other pleasures, you know. I'm good
exactly.
with that. Well, you know, Mike, tell me, you know, how long have you been freedom-minded, oriented? I mean, did you move to New Hampshire, or were you already there?
I did move, and it was after going to an event like Pork Fest where I got to meet all these people for the first time and realize there are other people in the world very like-minded to me and having the same passions about liberty. So I've been here about a little less than 2 years from California.
Why did you, what prompted you to go there? Why?
Well, I was having a pretty, you know, standard life with girlfriend and, you know, planning to move in and, you know, start a family and do that kind of thing. And then I learned about other people in the world with mindset similar to mine and trying to strive for freedom in this lifetime. And I thought that was too important and too fun to pass up. So I came out here to test the waters and love every aspect of it and moved here, changed my life and moved here.
You know, I have been to New Hampshire in the past few years probably about 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate traveling. I hate flying. I hate it. But I always enjoyed just spending time in New Hampshire for many reasons. You know, winter, summer, it didn't matter. It was just, you know, the people that, not even the libertarians, I mean, just the people. It was just a much more rural, open-oriented kind of, I mean, you get into Manchester, some of the city, they still, you got Alchquidit uniform guys, you know. But it's,
yeah.
Generally, you're just kind of, you know, hey, man, it's all good. until you get next to the border of Massachusetts, you know, and Boston gets an influence. But, you know, where do you
I was from Massachusetts.
Well, then you know exactly what I mean. So where have you guys settled there in New Hampshire?
Both of us are from the sort of upper valley area of New Hampshire, which is about a third of the way up the state, and particularly like the Grafton area. Grafton is known as kind of a hotbed of freedom, I guess you could say, within New Hampshire.
Well, do you guys live near each other or together or what?
We do live near each other, but we don't live together.
Each other, and we do strive to see each other quite often.
So, you know, in this type of perspective that you've had moving up, I mean, you actually chose to go there for this reason, to be around people that, you know, thought like you did. Is it really the same? I mean, are you starting to really find like it's a family, or are you starting to, you know, you have to compromise a little bit, or are you guys really finding friends that, I mean, you're like old friends immediately?
It was a huge change for me. I mean, I know Mike sort of talked a little bit about his experience, but for me, I felt really isolated when I was living in Massachusetts, and I was just a little bit over the border of New Hampshire, but as soon as I moved, things really changed a lot. I met so many cool people, and I've watched the movement sort of grow. I've been here for 4 years, and Mike's only been here for almost two years. And it's just been a very dramatic change, and it feels, for the first time, like I have a community where I really feel like I fit in. I can't speak highly enough about it.
Now, this is one thing I want to ask you, you know, and seeing as I'm an old man now and married and states away, I can ask this, okay? You're a very beautiful young woman, okay?
Yep.
I'm wondering when you move to some place new like this and you open yourself up to new experiences and so on, do you feel the same kind of being hit on, that you're not really sure about the relationship, what they're after and so on? But in this kind of community, in the freedom community, oh, you guys, you know you're going to want to know that. I won't make you wait. I'm not going to let her answer. You know, because the answer that I'm looking for is, you know, what kind of... how are you approached? I mean, what are you looking for? Are you, you know, maybe he doesn't look as good in the jeans, but he has more of an intellectual perspective that you like. And so, I mean, it's a different type of relationship. And we're going to talk about when we come back with Stephanie and Mike.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The word that they're saying, but you know, that's what music was playing at the disco. We were going to the meat market looking for our women's. You know, it just made me think of that song. You know, I had it in here on my list, and I'm going, you know, I remember that. We were just out meat marketing. Well, now when you have a beautiful woman that goes to some place to be stimulated intellectually. Now, Stephanie, when you're approached by your favorite man, woman, whatever, I don't really care. I'm just wanting to know. You know, what is it that you're looking for? Is there still that you're young enough that there's this physical attraction thing, or are you more stimulated by an intellectual person?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I value attractiveness in, you know, physical beauty, but to me it's more important to find someone that I'm compatible with. And like we were talking about before the break, when I lived in Massachusetts before, I kind of had a hard time meeting people because I felt so alone. I felt like there was no one who really valued freedom and liberty as much as I did, and sort of understood the concepts of non-aggression principle and live and let live and so forth.
You know, there was one thing. Let me ask Mike. I want to interject here. You know, Mike, I remember I was already married. I have a beautiful wife. I'm good, you know. But that was the biggest complaint from young men. They're like, where are all the women? I'm going to go be a Democrat. You know, women over there. And I'm going, really? That's your criteria? You know, but, you know, now with the love-olution in the last few years, there's been a flood of women coming into the freedom movement. What's been your opinion?
I completely agree. Even the local liberty movement here in New Hampshire, the ratio of men to women used to be really high, and now it's really evening out. I just think that the message of individualism, of voluntarism, of, you know, not hurting other people, is very universal.
I think it's very,
say Democrat or Republican or other messages of any kind might pick kind of a clique of people.
You know, I think it's probably even more attractive to women. You know, they have a guy that's man enough not to want to kill somebody. I mean, you know, answer that, Stephanie. I mean, is it someone that's advocating, that showing the power to resist this desire to coerce or someone? Does that, you know, does that make them, you know, lose about 20 pounds or something?
Yes, absolutely. It's more important than anything, I think, partners understand, you know, that it's not okay to use the government to hurt people in order to get your way or to force them to do what you want them to do. And, you know, once people understand that, I think the world will be a much better place. And more people are sort of coming on board with that all the time.
Well, how much time
now there are more women, too.
How much time do you guys spend on your show and people calling and everything about child raising? You know, that's a very interesting, that's a very important relationship also. How do children come into this philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. That is something that we probably don't talk about it as frequently on the show as some of our other topics, but it's definitely come up in the past. We've talked about the decision about whether to have children or not. We've talked about sort of, you know, having state-free marriages and not involving the state in your marriage. And along with that goes child raising and sort of government schools and all that. And in fact, I don't know if this is kind of a secret, but we are planning to do a joint appearance with Brett from the School Sucks podcast. He has a podcast all about government schools and how they or damage kids. And so we're going to talk about kids and their relationships and how they're affected by the state.
Well, you
know, we're even planning a show to talk where we're going to talk about how to talk to kids about sex.
Wow. Okay. Well, tell me.
No, be honest. Just like everything else, we advocate honesty and sort of, you know, you can always say anything at an age-appropriate level, but I don't believe in sort of sugarcoating things or calling body parts silly names or trying to obscure the truth in any way. I think if kids ask questions, they're going to find answers. They're going to seek them out on their own. And you should do your best to be honest with them in sort of an age-appropriate way. What do you think, Mike?
You can still be lighthearted and humorous, but there's no reason to change the truth and avoid reality.
You know, we came from, my wife and I were two totally different sides. My dad was, you know, and parents were very open from the beginning. I don't remember a time I didn't really understand. I'm sure it was at least fourth grade. You know, I got it. I mean, there wasn't any surge in hormones or then that I cared. I'm like, okay, I get it. And, you know, next, when's recess? I mean, you know, I didn't care. But, you know, my wife, you know, she grew up in a very strict, you know, very conservative Catholic family that, you know, that, you know, guilt was the the currency.
Right.
And of course, she'll say no, but, you know, so I'm in trouble already. But the but I could tell that there was a big difference when she and I were raising children. I'm just more about, you know, just, you know, honest, just, you know, they ask a question, they get it. Oh, it was so bad that my kids have the abort button. You know, they ask, they always, you know, yeah, Dad, well, what about, and some, okay, and I give them, you know, this, you know, 3-minute answer that lasts 3 hours. So I wouldn't say anything. I'd be counting to 10. This is the deal that we had. They had 10 seconds to hit the abort button, which is they push my shoulder, you know, and they see me. I'm just not saying anything. No, 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 no. They were over to hit me on the shoulder and try to, up, and I move and I go, eh, you missed. Now you get the 3-hour version, you know. So don't ask Dad a question unless you want the full Monty, because being honest with your children, it's probably the only way you're going to maintain any kind of credibility with them or have any kind of influence on their life, certainly when you become teenagers, and sure as heck now that they're adults. And I've always been so proud of my kids. When I grow up, I want to be just like them, you know? So I wish that everybody could benefit from this kind of relationship of just being open and honest. But where in our culture, where did that stop? Where was that opposition? Where was it, you know, church, the state, the government schools, the television? I mean, where did it come from that we are supposed to, like, you know, have this insulation, this generation gap, this crap that we're having to deal with that I had to, you know, muddle through to get out of, to extract them from or something? Where do you see the source of that? Where does it come from?
My guess would be the indoctrination we get in the form of school from government, because government's, you know, purpose is to be needed and to control and to govern, and they need us as people to be needy and wanty and have desires and need help. And so they've trained us to throughout all our lives to need more and to need assistance that we don't, and to be helpless and to not know what to do.
No,
yes, Mike, I absolutely agree.
I want to make this observation real quick before we run out of time. I meant to say this earlier, and I don't want to forget. There was, as my children grew up, it was, you know, at the movies, they'd go and you would have, the only way that you could get any kind of sex in a movie for teenage kind of stuff, you know, the R-rated, whatever, you got the teens at the camp doing whatever, was only if you had Freddy Krueger or Jason, you know, skewering them, you know, or slicing them up or dicing them or shooting them or something like that. They always had to associate violence with sex. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? It seemed like there was a programming going on. I mean, did you guys feel that or recognize it as you were growing up? You're younger than me.
I've actually kind of somewhat experienced a little bit different area. I think that violence is actually more commonly depicted in movies than sex. I think people are kind of prudish about sex, but the violence, oh, okay, no problem. You know, like,
No. That's my point. That's my point. You couldn't just have, and the only time you had any sex is it had to be associated with violence. I mean, you know, there wasn't just like a loving kind of, you know, sexual whatever thing. Oh, heck no, you can't do that. As time has gone on, it's almost like they had to be married. So you have a generation of young people growing up either having this weird freaking, you know, perspective about, you know, physical intimacy. And I just assume my kids not go to the movies. I mean, just, no, you don't need to watch that crap. You don't need to. Yes. No, I don't want them exposed to that stuff.
Especially in movies, I think they want, you know, something dramatic and some conflict. You don't see two people loving each other for 2 hours. You see someone, especially with sex, you see, you know, someone having sex outside of a marriage, so there's a conflict, and you see a rape scene, and you see some sex with violence like Jason or Freddy. They want something shocking. They don't want reality. They want something good and plain and happy.
You know, I don't think, you know, one of the most popular movies that I enjoyed a lot was the young teen that got pregnant in the movie Juno. And I thought, I didn't watch that thing for a long time thinking, yeah, I don't need a teen pregnancy, I don't care, you know, but it was done so well, and it was just, and so I'm really looking forward to your generation and what's happening up at, in New Hampshire to be an example, and what you're doing is so important, and much more than I think you realize, certainly to me, that there is someone out there that even bringing up the issue of intimate relationships of every level between parents and their children, in-laws, you know, older parents, younger, between each other, that there is a communication that is done based on something real that's not manufactured by fill-in-the-blank bad guys. You know, it's something real. And I just didn't even think of it until, you know, we were introduced and had you on the show. And I'm going, now that we've had this introduction, I hope you guys will be available in the future for some of my other shows that we'll have you on, because I think this is such a fascinating subject.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun to talk with you. And I agree. I think what you're doing is really important, too, with Freedom Phoenix and all that. And all the activism you do, so thanks a lot.
It's been my pleasure, and I'm just glad that we got a little bit of time to just get to know each other a little bit, because there's not enough time in 1 hour to really go into what I wanted to, and I know that you guys are make yourself available for us to come back and do it again. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Michael. It's PORC therapy.com. PORCTherapy.com, where you can get your mind right, or at least find some other people that got their mind right, because an entire generation in the future where we are going to depend on the next generation to save us from, I don't know, the mess that we created, and this is the way to do it. Understand how to communicate with each other, and you don't need to use coercion, force, or the threat of it. Raise loving children, and we'll have love in this country. We'll see you tomorrow.